in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Welcome back to Phantom Island. My name is Stephen Godfrey. This is The Single Wing. PhantomIsland.show is where you can hear this entire episode. If you are on the free preview, we'll cut you out in a second and get an idea of what it's about. If you're a subscriber, thank you so much for your support at PhantomIsland.show. And if you're at the $15 level or above, you can ask us questions. I'm about to answer some of them. Thanks to our friends at Homefield. And by the way, this should be landing in your feed as college football commences officially in week one. So congratulations to everybody. My plan is to just be a good citizen, consume the schedule along with y'all. Over at my, let's call it the PR gig over at Yahoo College Football Inquirer, I think it's late Saturday night, like real late, like midnight late. I'm taping a show because Andy Staples and Ross Dellinger will both be at, I think it's the Notre Dame-Miami game. I don't know. All I know is that they're, because of something, we're going to tape late on some night or something like that. It'll be fun. So check that out. Thank you for your support of Phantom Island. I've been on a bunch of other podcasts recently. I was on Golic and Golic. Thank you for having me. I was on the Dave Campbell Texas Football podcast. Thanks to those guys for having me. I was at Split Zone Duo's live event in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Sports Podcast Festival last week. Thanks to those of you who came out and said hello. There were a lot of y'all, a lot of nice comments about Phantom Island, so thank you very much. I'm just doing a lot. So if you see me, say hello. Appreciate the all the kind words I've received recently. We're going to go ahead and jump into it. If for some reason this is your first episode of The Single Wing, you're going to ask me about football, and then y'all are going to ask me about a variety of non-football life type issues and just stuff that isn't, hey, who, what coach is doing X. So that's it. That's the gist of it. Let's jump right in. Alex S. asks, my team, Illinois, opens the season on a Friday night. There have been multiple message board and social media arguments amongst Illinois fans about Friday night games during the high school season hurting recruiting opportunities after these games became more common about a decade ago. And then in parentheses, Alex S. writes, guessing other fan bases have had similar spirited discussions. Was curious how coaches actually feel about Friday games that fall during high school season when it comes to the process of recruiting, etc. Thank you for your question, Alex S. I have actually covered in person an Illinois Friday night game. They played Indiana pre-current Indiana iteration, but I believe, yeah, Bielema was the head coach, and it was in Bloomington on a Friday night. I want to say it was week one, if not week like zero or two. Here's the short answer. No, coaches do not like Friday night games. But no, coaches do not like Tuesday night games. And no, coaches do not like Sunday afternoon games. And no, they don't like Monday games. Coaches want routine. They want exactly the same thing as much as possible. But that answer has to do more with logistics than it does with recruiting. I think that the calculus on recruiting has significantly shifted because of NIL, and while there is a obvious drawback to playing on Friday night, if you are heavily invested in high school recruiting, and every good college football program should be, and is, it's not the same detriment it used to be. I think if anything, it just makes for a wonkier schedule in the week and when you're making your calls and who you're talking to. But again, we are in the GM era. We are in the personnel department era. If you are a running back and you're deciding between school A and school B, and school A comes to your game and school B doesn't because they are on national television that night, but school B still comes and offers you a better overall package. Playing time, coach, you know, but better coaching staff, it's a school that you would rather attend. Oh, and there's more money. I don't think you're going to hold it against school B for not standing on the sidelines and watching one of your high school games. I fought against Friday night. I don't like it, and I've lost. Much like I've lost the idea that college football should dominate and isolate on Thursdays. The NFL disagrees with me. Most people do, too. Also, college football just kind of retreated on Thursdays, and They retreated. I would say that there are college football games on Thursday night. The quality has diminished significantly. I have brought this up on various shows. I've been talking about, like, just talking about some guys, right? Real nostalgia here. 2000s era Big East games on Thursday night, y'all. Bangers. Top 10 matchups routinely. ACC games on Thursday night. Top 20 matchups. Bangers routinely. Not so much anymore. I don't like that we're seeing more of an investment in Friday night, but I don't really get a choice. Now, this Friday night is different. This is Labor Day weekend. If you're a longtime listener, you know I've advocated for a sort of star-studded, I want blockbuster games at every level of the sport. So I want helmets that look good against each other. I want them on campus, and I want them also in NFL stadiums for one-offs. And then I want really good G5 matchups and maybe throw some conference games in there. But while we're at it, let's distribute. Like, I want something good on Thursday. Let's throw a couple interesting pieces on Friday. And then, of course, we get Saturday. But hey, why not like one or two Sunday games before the Monday night game? Without actually just sitting here and reading the television schedule to you, I don't know if I've ever seen a balanced and happy and easily accessible weekend like what we're experiencing. What is just deliciously rolling off of our eyeballs right now? Thursday is good. Friday is really good. For the purpose of this, I actually will. Here, let me grab my iPad and look up the Friday night schedule for you. This is what you should be listening to tonight, I believe, if our RSS feed is working as usual. So Friday night, you'll notice, has not just sort of like we're sloughing off some games. I remember a lot of week one Friday nights having Colorado and Colorado State as a thing. I've seen some burn off on like a weird West Coast game where there'd be like a late Stanford kick or something like that. This is just good quality. That they're treating this like they should across a holiday weekend. But the thing you'll notice is that they have networks are slotting quality against another network's quality. So what do I mean by that? I mean, obviously on Friday night, you've got, you know, Western Michigan and Michigan State. Stuff like, I have noticed that I learned this with Minnesota at the live split zone a couple years ago, and I know that there are other schools in that part of the country. I think Labor Day weekend is the sort of official last gasp of summer at that part of the country, and if you can move your first college football game to a weeknight, then people can still enjoy Labor Day weekend at the lake. I think that might apply to Michigan State, too. I don't know if it's as much of a sort of hard and fast tradition as it seemed to be in Minnesota, although is Minnesota playing? I don't know if they are. I'll have to check that. Maybe they were forced to play. Oh, nope, I'm wrong. Thursday night, baby, against Buffalo. Yeah, everybody's got to get to the lake, man, one last time. I feel you. I've spent so much time in way, way, way far upstate New York that I'm starting to get that way of life. I don't want your January or March or April or first 2 weeks of May, but I like y'all. Good salt of the earth human beings. Anyway, let's get back on track, Steven. There's inventory that the networks obviously put up to try and win the night. So you have a Georgia Tech Colorado game that ESPN is positioning against Fox, who has Auburn at Baylor. Those are good games. This is no longer about the Deion Sanders sideshow. I know that there's a quotient of viewers that come from outside of traditional college football demos, NFL fans, it's an increase in African Americans, all that stuff that we've talked about in years past. They're going to tune in because they love Deion. It's not Travis Hunter anymore. It's not Shador, but it's still Colorado and Deion. And then you have a good Georgia Tech team. That's a good game. It's a good non-conference game against two Power Four opponents, opposite a game that a lot of people are really hyping up, which is Auburn and Baylor on Fox. That's different than just like some of the, you know, I could rattle off the other games like Central Michigan and San Jose State. Nothing against those teams, and I probably will be watching that in bed as I fall asleep on Friday night. But you know, that's usually the caliber game. Or there's my buddy's game, Illinois and Western Illinois, on a Friday night at 6:30. This is Labor Day weekend. I'm fine with playing whenever, whatever. I'm not gonna fuss about it. I still really don't like and I'll check week two. On September 5th of week two, we got a lot of football. We got four games in the FBS. James Madison at Louisville is a football game. I guess I'm okay with that. Northern Illinois at Maryland. I don't understand the reason for it, but sure. Northwestern is playing Western Illinois. Whatever. Eastern Washington is at Boise State. Normally, I would say, hey, watch out for that, but I mean, this is a very good Boise program, and I don't think Eastern Washington's capable. Four games. Okay, I mean, I guess that's fine. I would prefer there not be any. Or maybe just one. I don't know. I don't want to take away from G5s or FCS that are trying to get some mind share. You've got at least four Friday night games pretty much for the rest of the season. By the way, Colorado's at Houston on Friday night, and then Kansas State and Arizona are also playing. The Big 12 is generous with their inventory on Friday nights this year, so watch out for that. That's in week three, by the way. So let's take that game. So down in Texas, high school football, right? Is Houston going to suffer for that? I think 15 years ago, it would have been a big inconvenience if they were trying to get on some players. I think now it doesn't hold the same disadvantage. You want to go out and win the game, and oh, by the way, like, are you paying these kids or not? Moreover, I would argue we all are, or most all of us, are living in a world where, let's say Houston wins that game. Let's say Colorado comes in with like two wins or something and Houston wins. That's a big win for Houston right now, and they're rebuilding the program. It's going to be something that they can immediately take out to those kids the next morning when they're texting. Hey, man. Did you see our big game? Did you see our big win against Colorado last night? By the way, I heard you guys did X and Y. Congratulations on a great game. This is what we got building. This is what we want y'all to come check out next week. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they'll share clips of it. Everybody's got a YouTube TV DVR these days. It's not like we're never in one place at one time, much to our sort of psychological detriment. So I don't think it holds against the way it used to. I think if you're an Illinois fan, you're playing, you know, playing a conference game might suck a little more just for losing the tailgating and the atmosphere and that kind of stuff. That's a separate conversation. I don't think it's great for fans because it's Friday night and it's not Saturday where you get to tailgate. So I went through this entire spiel without really talking about the fan experience, but you asked about recruiting. So no, I don't love Friday games. I understand their purpose. We can talk about Black Friday as we get closer to Thanksgiving, but in general, I believe that Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend should be 5-day sort of like, you know, Mardi Gras of college football. The rest, I would like to keep as much in Saturday as possible. I know what I just said goes against Maction. I don't really know what we're going to do with the Mac. We're going to figure something out, guys. I don't know. Maybe we take him to a farm upstate. Georgia is a verb. Last offseason, a lot of the chatter about the 2024 Ole Miss roster was along the lines of an all-or-nothing shot at a natty. Or at least, at the very least, the playoffs. I would say it was more the latter than the former. It was the playoffs. It wasn't a national title. They did not have Ohio State-level expectations, to be clear. Okay, back to him. But in the months since, I haven't heard anyone mention Lane as a hot seat candidate for 2025. What would it take for Kiffin to suddenly find himself on that list? Hell no, he's not on the hot seat. I think Lane Kiffin had a very Lane Kiffin season last year. Pick the Kentucky game or pick the lapses in the Florida game just off the top of my head. Or pick the blown lead in Death Valley. And if you flip one of those, Ole Miss is in the playoff. I think Lane is good for these kind of seasons. He is in it. Look, as much attention as he draws and the cult that he builds in the media and social media and amongst other coaches, Lane Kiffin is not a title-winning head coach. That's not how we describe him. So he had a very Lane Kiffin season last year. Ole Miss is not a title-winning program. So it would be almost sort of like impossible for him to continue to deliver 8 and 9 win seasons and Ole Miss say, that's not good enough, you're out of here. I think the feeling was that Jackson Dart was in his last season. I think the NIL and portal really started to sort of peak in their efficiency for Ole Miss, and defense became noticeably better, and at least in terms of personnel that were acquired that way. And it felt like, man, this is going to be your best shot for a while. If anything, what I've heard out of Oxford this offseason is that while this is not last year's team with a playoff level expectation, this is not also going to be a 6-win season. So it's a version of the Tennessee story that was forced upon Tennessee after Nico. But no, Lane, I don't know if Lane could be on the... I mean, you would have to have something truly disastrous happen in the 4 or 5 win region range with maybe a controversy added on to Lane being rumored for some sort of open job, maybe. And then there just a fatigue point hits in with Ole Miss. But I'm really having to sort of catastrophize here. Lane is not on the hot seat in any way, shape, or form. Yes, they did, you know, feel like they were throwing all their chips in the middle to go after the playoff, but the feeling in Oxford was they failed. They did not make the playoff, but the blueprint that was drawn up, the tactics that were applied, and the energy and the money and the dedication, like everyone who got involved in that process at any step, never, like, no one looked at it at the end and said, we really fucked up, or why did we do this? They were a game short. You can get mad at Kiffin and his staff or whatever. I mean, they were so wildly unprepared to play a bad Kentucky team at home. Was that in September? Like, that's where you hold it on his ass. Like, but you don't blow it up. If that continues, now, if they're in that situation year after year and there are just mind-boggling losses, single events that prevent you from playoff access, and you're spending a lot like the way Ole Miss is, then I think you get into a larger review. But no, I think Ole Miss and Lane have settled into each other in a way I didn't expect. It's hard to talk about this Ole Miss because I am continually proven wrong when I apply the old Ole Miss standards. Do I think that they are Georgia or Alabama or, you know, certainly not Texas? No, of course not. But are they in a second class underneath that now? I am not prepared to answer that currently, but I am continuing to receive information that my alma mater is not as clusterfucky as they used to be. It's been, I don't know, a couple hundred days since there's been any even locally noticed racial incident. Mascot situation, nickname, all that stuff is still the same. They still seem to be a dog whistle for every dumb, white, long-banged racist from a little bit of money in Atlanta or Dallas to migrate there and, you know, do something that fucks up their LinkedIn profile. But by and large, they're getting better at not embarrassing themselves. I think they're raising, I don't think their house is much bigger, but their basement seems not as deep. All of this is subject, I will go in on them with vigor if they fall apart this year. But I don't think they, you know, I don't think that's going to be the case. We're going to find out. You know, you got Tulane and LSU, and by that point to end September, you're going to have an idea of, I think, what the season looks like for them. Allegedly, I'm going to a game this year, but I'm not going to tell you when. Hey, everybody, that's it for the preview of this episode of The Single Wing. If you want to get the entire episode, as well as everything else that a premium subscription to Phantom Island gets you, we're not all like this. Numbers and words, Single Wing, the Eyes List, other stuff we haven't thought of yet. Go to phantomisland.show today.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.